gentlemen, this is our last shiur of this month. For those of you who are not coming back Shanavet, is there anybody? I'm not trying to single anyone out, I just know that a lot of people are coming back. Anyway, so I just want to wish you all haslacha, and thank you for coming to the shiurim. I hope you enjoyed them. I enjoyed giving you the shiurim, and I enjoyed talking with you and learning. And for those of you who are coming back Shanavet yet, I don't know what I'm doing, so hopefully, if you speak to a waxman enough, I'll be back next year. But then the only downside is maybe I have to come up with new topics. So you have to let me know if you're going to come to the shurim next year, not just if you'll be back, and I'll be back next year, because I don't need to know if I can repeat shurim. Anyway, so as it so happens, our last topic, our last shiur, is on Parsha of Korach. And there are some interesting topics that do come up in Korach, earthquakes and halacha. There is one, however, the truth is that there's interesting just agav, not what we're talking about today, but there's interesting machlokas rishonim, whether machlokas is usr. Towards the end of the story, it says, v'lo tiyeh kekorach v'adaso. So some say that that's just a prediction, either there will never be such a similar machlokas, or others say, like the Rambam, that it means that in the future when people will criticize the Kohanim or the other leaders, they won't necessarily get swallowed up by the earth. But others say, small Rishonim, the smog and the smog, perhaps the Chavetz Chaim as well, say, no, it's not just a prediction, or it's not just a statement of history, it's a halacha. The halacha is that just like Korach started Machlokas, it's Osir, below, yeah, it's Osir. And that seems to be the simple understanding of a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The other Rishonim to the Gemara doesn't really mean it, it's a Nasmachta, but the simple understanding of the Gemara, like these Rishonim, is that if there's an Isser of Machlokas. So there's what to talk about in that regard. But I wanted to talk about a topic which is really a longish one, if you will. A lot of, if you think about the topics we've done over the course of the year, we've varied a little bit. Some have been a little bit more interesting halachic topics, and others have been more, not so much lamaisa, but more longish. So this is, keeping with my true love, this is more in the longish realm, although it's in a very practical issue. And that is the issue of shlichus in mitzvos. When I was in Shalavim, I think maybe I've told you the story, maybe I've told some of you the story, maybe you've heard other versions of the story, but Rabbi Reish was Shanabet, and I knew him a little bit from camp, actually, before this year, and I just thought he was the greatest. I had like a crush on Rabbi Reish, and I really wanted to have a chavruzah with him, but he was really, like, from Shacharis to like 1 in the morning, he was packed. He had no free time. He was learning like a machine. I know you're shocked. And I kept on nagging him. I was this annoying Shana Aleph guy. Come with me, learn with me, learn with me. So after a while, I think just to shut me up, he said, you know, fine. If you're willing to wake me up before davening, we can learn then. So for about a month and a half, I think, or about a month, I can't remember exactly how long it was, we woke up at like 5:30 or 4:45, something like that, in the morning every day. I had to wake him up. I had to go and wake him up. He wasn't going to take responsibility, but I had to wake him up. And we would either daven at the kibbutz. There was no no-fly loan in those days. It didn't exist. We had to go down to the kibbutz to daven vasikin and then learn, or we would learn first and then daven with the yeshiva. It was a very, very intense schedule. I was so physically exhausted that for a while I was sleeping in my clothes. It's not enough just to go coast to coast and only shower once a week. That's not a real man. I was sleeping in my clothes. It was quite disgusting when I think about it. I almost blew my shidduch when I told my wife about this. We spoke about that last week, so I had to give you another part of the same. So that I didn't talk about the rooms, like just my wife. Anyway, so I was totally exhausted. And I remember thinking, here it is, I'm doing so much serious math. Why am I exhausted? I'm learning all day. What do I need to wake up so early in the morning for? Can't I have someone else just daven for me? Why couldn't I have a shliach to daven for me? I could sleep a little bit later, I'll come to Seder on time. I actually have to put on tefillin for me. And I've been trying ever since that Shana Aleph to see, find some Rishon, some Akron, somebody who I could hang my hat on and say, ah, you can do it. Unfortunately, as you know intuitively, it's impossible. You can't, you gotta daven yourself, you gotta put on tefillin yourself. At the same time, there are plenty of other mitzvos, which you may either experience directly, or you know about from your own learning, but we do allow a shliach. The question which we want to deal with today, which is a question that some of the Rishonim and Achronim deal with, is that why is it that some mitzvot allow for a shliach, you can have someone else do it on your behalf, and some mitzvot you have to do yourself. So the connection to our parsha is mentioned in two Gemaras in Shas that discuss the overall topic of shlichus in general, and specifically the topic of shlichus in mitzvos. Most famous of the sources is the Gemara in Kiddushin Adaf Mem Aleph. The Gemara there, the second parak of Kiddushin, if you're familiar, the Mishnah, the opening of the parak, speaks about getting married. Aish mekadesh b'shulcha, and aish miskadeshes b'shulcha. So Kiddushin is one of those mitzvos which you can have a shliach on. And that leads to a whole discussion in the Gemara there, one of the most famous discussions in all of Shas, about shlichus. And the Gemara, in the course of its discussion, has a number of different sources. Where do we have a concept in halacha? Where is the source for the concept? Which we take for granted, but obviously the Gemara is dealing with before we took it for granted. How do we know that you could have a shliach do mitzvahs? And there are various different sources that are proposed. We have examples by Karban Pesach, where someone does the shlita for you. We have examples in Kutchim in general, maybe that's the source. Maybe Kedushin is the source. Maybe Gittin is the source. Various other examples. And in the context of that conversation, the Gemara tells the following halacha, the following story. Ha'omer l'shlucho, say trom. You tell your shliach to go out to the field and take truma for you from your crops. Torim kedas balabayis. So the person should take the amount that the balabayis wants. An ayodea. What if he doesn't know how much the balabayis wants? So then he should be turning beninis echad mechamishim. He should take 1/50 for truma. What if he took less piches? Or what if he took more hosif? Truma so truma says the halacha, as long as it's within range, it's still good. So now the Gemara says, in light of that, Mendalon, which Rashi explains, Mendalon, how do we know there's even a concept of shlichus by truma? Who said you could have a shliach take truma for you? So the Gemara answers, Chi tema the yolof me geirushin. Well, you'll say we already apparently earlier in the discussion, which I didn't put on the sheet. The Gemara shows that shlichus works for get, to get divorced. So maybe that's the source. The Gemara says, no, that can't be the source. Mali geirushin shekin yeshnan chol. Geirushin is a regular, civil act. It's religious, but it's not holy, right? We know that Truma has Kedusha, right? A non-Kohen who eats Truma is Chayav Kares. There's Kedusha in the Truma. So just because Shlichus works for Gershin doesn't mean it can even work in the deeper end of the pool. It's even more serious that has Kedusha. The Gemara says, Amar Kra, a pasuk from the Parsha of Korach. There the Gemara is talking about Truma's Meiser, the fact that even the Levium, after they get their Meiser, have to give Truma on that. And the Gemara and the Pasuk says, Gam Atem. Also you have to give. Now the simple understanding is that the Chiddush is that not only do we pay them, but also Levium have to give. However, the Gemara has a very famous drasha, which it says repeated in other places in Shas. Atem. Really, it could have said Atem. You should give. Who cares what other people are giving? You speak to the Levium, tell them they should give. Gam Atem. The fact that there's an extra word there. Gam Atem. The rabbi is the shliach. Oh, this is the chiddush. This is the one of the possible sources of the Gemara for the concept of shlichus. Shlichus in truma, or maybe even more broadly, as we'll see in a minute, halachos of shlichus in mitzvos. Atem, gam atem, a very famous and important drasha. The rabbi is the shliach. Now the Gemara asks, it turns the tables. Elo l'stob rachmanu b'truma b'teisi b'hanach. So forget just having, once we see other examples, which the Gemara gave, which were even in Kedusha realm, maybe those should be enough. Maybe we still don't need the one in Truma. So the Gemara answers, you're right, Hachanami. Maybe there are other sources out there which make this unnecessary. Ella, says the Gemara, Atem Gabatem Lama. So then, bottom line, if it's not necessarily needed as the source for Truma, for Shlichus and Truma, then what is the pasuk? What's the drasha there for? So maybe it's even more broadly important. Maybe it's important for all Shlichus. To teach us that a shliach has to be a ben bris, which if I'm not mistaken, I think the Mefarshim point out, doesn't just mean it has to be a Jew, but it may even come to exclude a eved kanani, which is who is somewhere in the middle of becoming a Jew, but maybe not yet considered ben bris yet. But be that as it may, the bottom line is that we see from this pasuk in our parsha, it may narrowly be the source of the idea of shlichus and truma, or it may even have an impact on a halacha that's beyond that. The Gemara B'Metzia discusses a similar case, and the Gemara there gives also a drasha, a limud, from Atem Gam Atem, to teach us a basic halacha about truma, namely, if you look at the bottom of the second line, Amar Rachmanu L'Rabba Shluchachem, Ma'atem L'Datchem, Av Shluchachem L'Datchem. The idea that a shliach has to be someone who was appointed. How do we know that? Maybe I can just be a shliach stam and sell your house for you. What do you mean? I don't want to have my house sold. I want to live where I am. What do you mean? So there's Rabbi Reich. Perfect time. I haven't seen him in like 6 months, but we'll talk and give a story about him. We'll get to see him. You have to tell him about the shout out. Anyway. I still have a crush on him, by the way. Even though we're both married, so there's no problems. Anyway, so the Gemara here has another halacha about the concept of shlichus from our parsha. So we see, as I said before, specific mitzvos, including the ones connected to our parsha, truma, gittin, gerushin, and others, where we know definitively you can use a shliach. Other people are here. On the other hand, we have other mitzvos where we know definitively you cannot use a shliach. And the question, the big question is, why not? I want to share with you three, perhaps four, but mainly three approaches from Rishonim and Achronim to try to understand why we would distinguish, what rules of shlichus would be used to distinguish between which mitzvahs do work and mitzvahs don't work. Now, I just want to add one thing, which I think we discussed earlier in the year, either directly or indirectly, and that is, even in a case where shlichus works, even in a case, we do have a klal, mitzvah bo, yosnu b'shlucho, right? It's still always better to do it yourself. And yet we know, even though it's better to do it yourself, bottom line, there are some things that work, some things that don't work. We want to know, how do you draw the line? Do you have a question? Stretching. Okay. So the world famous source on this topic, there's really two, but the original world famous source on this topic is the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid made this question famous, and his answer is famous. The problem is his answer is not always understood. But hopefully we'll understand it. Tosfos Rid begins by asking the question very directly. What's going on? Why is it that I can have a shlicha for something, for certain things, but yet I can't have a shliach and tell him, shave besukkah b'avarai, sit in my sukkah for me, right? It's cold, I want to go to sleep, I want to eat inside, you sit in the sukkah for me. Can't do that. Or my example, hanach tefillin b'avarai, put on tefillin for me, right? I can't do that either. Why not? So says the Tosfos Rid, b'lach milsahi, it's not a question. The answer is easy. Shahamitzvah shechaybo hamakum l'asos begufo hechi poter hu aydei shlucho hu lo yaseh klo. Now we need to stop. The words are easy enough to translate on their own, but let's try to unpack what he's saying. So first of all, the first thing that he says, which is what has become world famous, is he, and this is important to know because it's not in the Gemara. The average person, even the average yeshiva guy, thinks that there's a rule or a klal in the Gemara called mitzvah shebegufo. That's not true. The concept of a mitzvah shebegufo as being something which is not subject to shlichus was revealed by the Tosfos Rid, and we'll see amplified by and clarified by later sources. Not in the Gemara. The Gemara never addressed it in the question. We have the raw material from the Gemara. Yes, in some mitzvahs, some no, for other mitzvahs. But the question, let alone the answer, we don't have from the Gemara. That's the Rishonim. So there, on the one hand, the first most important thing to be aware of is that the Tosfos Rid introduces us to this idea of mitzvah shebegufo. It says, which mitzvahs can't work? Those are mitzvah shebegufo. Now the question is, even if we accept that, what does that mean? That's like halachic jargon, legalese. But let's unpack that. Let's understand that very clearly. And the related point, or to say differently, is, well, why not? What's the rationale? That's just a term. What does he mean? So he continues, again, the second half of the sentence was, Echi pater hu al yidei shlucho, v'hu lo ya'aseh klum. The shliach put on tefillin, and he didn't do anything. That's a very important phrase. However, if we think about it, at least for the moment, does it make any sense? Why doesn't it make sense?
It's the same thing by mitzvahs that you could...
Any mitzvah where you have a shliach, hulo yaseh klum. Right? So he must mean more than this. Let's continue. Bevad, I begeirushin, I bekidushin, mahani. Well, we know that's two examples in the Mishnah that it works. Kihu megaresh, hulo ashliach. He's directly answering your question. Kihu megaresh, hulo ashliach. What do you mean he's megaresh? He's in the yeshiva. Right? He's in the office. The shliach's in the bezdin giving the get to the woman. Hu megaresh, he says. Now he continues and explains. Shema kosav beget. Because after all, what's written in the get? It says the person's name. Whose name? The mishaleach. Ano, I, Ploni, Patras Plonis, I am releasing the woman. V'chinami ha'isha, who could also punish the shliach, accept the get. By the way, just you should know that's very common. In my experience, it's more common for even if the man is giving the get, dafka, very often by that point they don't want to be in the same room to each other, and it's often very much too painful for the woman, depending on the circumstances especially. So the get that I was involved in, even when the man was there, he was cooperating, he came, but we the Bezdin, were shluchim for the woman. We accepted the get on her back. She wasn't even there. It's actually Tam and Lamaisa. So that works. Let's say she's accepting the Kiddushin, like the Mishnah and Kiddushin. Who's she marrying? The Shaliach? No. Who's she getting divorced from? The Shaliach? No. Who's going to be married? Her or her Shaliach? In all these cases, it's the parties themselves. Who knows saying Truma may pay Rusat? Right? The Shaliach is giving from whose fruit? From my fruit. Whose tevel has now been removed? Who can now eat all the fruit in this farm? Me, the owner, the mishaleach. Chayim Pesach, right? What's the difference who shechs the karbon? Who's going to eat the karbon? What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the eating, of course. Aval b'sukkah, now he gets back to sukkah. Hachanami, hachalomar l'shlucho, aseli sukkah yoshev b'yel. You want to have a guy make a sukkah for you? That's fine. Aval im yoshev b'chavero, but if the shaliach sits in the sukkah for you, lo kayim hu klum. So it's pretty easy to read anyway, and if it wasn't, I just translated it word for you. So it's not the words, but still, the chiluk. It's not obvious. It's not obvious, and I think there's a lot of unclarity. Who wants to suggest what is the Tosfos Rid driving it? What is the distinction where some mitzvahs it works, and some mitzvahs it doesn't work? What is he saying? Now he calls it mitzvah shebegufo. Question is, what does he mean? What does he say? Yeah.
Maybe you could say something like a maisa versus a tzav, that if the mitzvah is in the actual maisa itself, and you have to do it, you can't still do it. But I mean, just like truma.
So where do you see that in his words?
Back at, like, he says that you're not doing anything. Hu lo yasa klum. That he's not doing anything. He has to do something.
Right, but then he said about getting kedushin that he did do something. Okay, now it's a very logically what you're saying makes a lot of sense. We're going to see a Rishon and an Achron who say that, but I don't think that's what the Tosfos Rid means. So I don't think he's in that camp. Yeah.
Well, that's a gavra. If I said going to this and wasn't look, was there a possibility?
What about truma? Why is that not a chafza? I'm asking. Yeah.
I think that by paying for a lot. We know that we're tracing it back to the original owner.
Say that again. Say that louder.
By the truma gerushin and kedushin, we know that the shef not going to do anything. It's all going back to the original owner. By the mitzvah shebegufo, so just like that, as first Wisconsin said, that is actually the shef that's doing it. What's the time to distinguish?
Okay, look, I want to sharpen what you're saying. I think you're basically correct, but I want to sharpen what you're saying. What? Oh, sorry, please.
The mitzvah of thought versus the mitzvah of our intention by getting condition just means you.
Is that true?
You set your words and your thought.
Is that true? If I think I want to marry her, I'm married to her?
The words, it's all this, right? It's words. It's not something that's probably in any physical action.
So the physical versus non physical.
20,000 miles away. It's not like an action you're doing physically. You don't have hands, you can do it.
What about Truma? Carbon Pesach?
Yeah, Truma, you could just say that side is Kavakavak.
Well, that itself is a question with the mitzvah of Truma, but so that's not even a good example because it's very complicated. But Carbon Pesach, I have to shech the Carbon Pesach. I can't just say it. Okay?
You can join
us at Hura. No, but we're talking about the mice. Someone has to do a mice shechita, which is a very obviously physical action, which is going to count for. It's not a question of the chiddush of chabura is that 10 of us, 100 of us, could all appoint one shliach and one animal. But fundamentally, that's no different than me appointing one shliach. Okay? So what I think you got the closest. What I think he's getting at is the way I would put it is the way it could be put. According to the Tosfos Rid, for shlichus to work, even though of course the shliach is doing the action, that's obvious. But there has to be some, it has to be misyaches on some level back to the shliach. Mishalech, excuse me. There has to be some connection. And the chiddush here, this is a subtle point, but it's clear when you think about what he's saying is, mitzvah points is not enough. As in all of these cases, take my davening and tefillin example. There's some kesher back from the shaleach. If we would have said the shlichus works, then I don't have to get up, and I'm yotzei my mitzvah of davening. I don't have to put on tefillin, and I'm yotzei mitzvah of tefillin. Halavai. But the point is, according to the Tosafot, that wouldn't have been enough. Mitzvah points don't count. In some more significant, real-world way, the action or the result of the action. We're going to see others who make that distinction. I don't think Rosa's where it is. He's not distinguishing which, whether the action or the result of the action, it has to be misyaches. It has to relate back to the Mishleach. What are his examples to make this point? And all the cases where Shlichas works, even though you, the Shlichas, did something, the real consequences in the real world are for me. I'm now a married man. I'm now a divorced man. My crops. So you did the action, but the chalos and the impact is me. So I'm not totally divorced from this. Adarabah, I'm right in the driver's seat. I might not have been steering the wheel or pushing the gas. You did. But it affects me, not only every much as it affects the shliach, it affects me much more than the shliach. The shliach doesn't get affected at all. I'm very much affected directly, in a real world sense, from the actions. In all those cases, shlichus works. But when it comes to tefillin or davening or something like that, again, notwithstanding the mitzvah points, and it's interesting, you might have had a hobby, the mitzvah points should be enough, but apparently it's not. Other than the mitzvah points, if you put on tefillin, what kesher does it have to me? Does that change my status? It doesn't do anything to me. I have no kesher to it. If you sit in a sukkah for me, what does that do for me? It gives me mitzvah points, but that's apparently not enough. It doesn't do anything else. Not like you marrying a woman on my behalf. I'm now married. I change because of your action. You're the shliach. My crops change because of your action. If you put on tefillin for me, nothing changes. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that even though he calls the term mitzvah shebegufo, he doesn't mean it in its most simplistic understanding. And I saw somebody who explicitly makes this point, and I thought just a good ha'ara, was Rav Ben Sion Meir Chayeuziel, who was one of the first Sephardic chief rabbis, actually, of the state of Israel, who makes the point, in light of the Tosus Rid, he says, what does mitzvah shebegufo mean? Mitzvah shebegufo means that it's only misyachis to one guf, in this case, the guf of the shliach. That's the things which shliachus doesn't work for. But something that would be misyaches to both the shliach and the mishaleach, that's not a mitzvah shabagufo. That's not only focusing on one person, one book, it's focusing on two. Now, why do I say all of this? Why is this so important? Because as I alluded to before, there are two famous, world famous, you can't walk through a crowded street, certainly not at a shmorg, certainly not a frum guy, a yeshiva guy's wedding. You cannot hold your head up high in any of these circumstances if you don't know these two sources. I mean, this is just the coin of the realm. You want to be a bentaur, you want to be a yeshiva guy, you want to be a talmid chacham, you just got to know this stuff. There's no excuses. So there's two sources that you have to know. Everything else I tell you after these two sources, if you don't know, you don't know. If you do know, wow. But the two sources is just like the ABCs. It's the Tosus Rid and the Ksos. Now everyone knows the Tosus Rid because the Ksos made him famous. And the Ksos, as we'll see in a minute, also very much waves the banner, like the Tosus Rid, of Mitzvah Shebegufo. But I think that not so uncommonly, people confuse the fact that the Ksos quotes the Tosus Rid and uses the same language as the Tosus Rid with what I think is a similar but really a very different understanding of the concept. They both use the term Mitzvah Shebegufo. The question is, what does it mean? And I think that Tosus himself has a different understanding. The easiest proof for that, Alech says the easiest, because some might say that his answer is an understanding of the Tosus Rid. I don't think there's any evidence of that. But what you can't miss if you actually open up the Tosus inside is that he quotes the Tosus Rid and then he asks a question. And his question is clearly based on our understanding. What his question is predicated on what we just explained the Tosus Rid to mean, which I got it really from him. Namely, if the whole definition of when the shlichus work is only in cases where the shlichus action is misyaches back to the mishaleach, you put the ring on her finger, I get married. What about halacha of ein shlichus ledvar aveira? So first of all, you should know that Shammai HaZaken holds yesh shlichus ledvar aveira. Second of all, you should know that even though we hold ein shlichus, it's either because of the famous Svara, what's the Svara? Dibri Rav, Dibri Atam, Dibri Mishomim. I ask you to kill somebody. God told you not to. Who are you going to listen to? You obviously made the wrong choice. Or the Gemara, and that same Gemara later gives a pasuk, gives a drasha to teach me Hashlichus to Dvar Veira. So whichever the source is, whether it's a svara or a pasuk, obviously says the ksos, it wasn't obvious. It needed a limud, either a svara or a drasha. Frak the ksos, according to Tosfos read, whether it's Shammai who holds it's actually Shlichus works for Averus, or even according to us, which says it doesn't work, but we needed a chiddush, why do we need a chiddush? According to Tosfos read, it comes out, the Shlichus only works in situations where the action of the Shaliach has some yichus back to the Mishaleach. And we pointed out, mitzvah points is not enough. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander, we have to be fair. Avera points is also not enough. Yes, Enechanami, if we said Shlicha Levar Avera, and you killed somebody because of me, I would get the Avera Verticha. But just like you putting on tefillin and I get the points, it's not enough to create a yichus. It's also not going to be fair to create that yichus in Avera points. And if we don't use an Avera points, what yichus of the Tos is there between the action of the Mishaleach, the appointing of the Mishaleach, and the action of the Shliach? You burn down someone to you, the classic example of the Gemara. You burn down someone's field at my behest. How is that Mishaleach to me? Does something change in me? Does my status change? Nothing happened to me. And yet, Shammai HaZakin says it works. And yet, even according to us, you need a drusha or a svara. So it doesn't work. According to Tosfos Reader, it should have just been obvious. Just like there's no that's an Aver Shebegufo, according to his definition. Right? It's to use that kinoi. If there's no yichus back in the Mishaleach, just like there's no shlichus by certain mitzvos, there should have been obviously no shlichus for these Averos. And yet, we need a drusha or a svara. So if it's not that, if he seems to be pushing away the Tosfos Reader, then what is it? So the Tos himself gives his own definition. Take a look inside. Third line, and nearly this daiti bazat, came with the shliach shalom kamoso lo armin el b'midi the asiya does have a ma'isa shlucho kamoso. Avah b'midi like asiya lo armin and shliach shalom kamoso. What does he mean by that? He's not saying ma'isa versus tosa. You'll notice he didn't say anything about tosa, but he explains when does it work. We're going to get to you. Don't worry, I promise. Gerushin, kiddushin, truma, and all of those things is a ma'isa. A ma'isa of giving the ring, a ma'isa of giving the get, of taking the truma. So shlucho shalom shmoso means it works. It's as if I did it. That's great. Aval but tefillin, kishah shaliach maneach tefillin, hanachazu shehi asiya, choshev kila mashaliach also hanachazu. Enechanami. Listen, this is a great ksos, a great ksos. A ksos at his best. If I ask a shlucho to put on tefillin for me, enechanami, the koach ha-shlichos works at least halfway. Shluchos Aram Kamoso. The action of the Shliach is as if I did it. Therefore, if you put on tefillin for me, it taka is halachic magic. As if I was wrapping tefillin this morning, even though I was shluffing. Yet, he continues, Abalakati lohanech tefillin al rosho. El al rosh shlucho. Dein guf ha Shliach, guf ha Mishaleach. That's the key point. Says the Tos, mitzvah shebegufo is the key. And he understands it, pshuto kamashmo, very literally. Mitzvahs which must be done on or with a person's body, there can't be any shlichus. Mitzvahs which just require a maisa, so then there can be shlichus. But certain mitzvahs don't just require a maisa, they require a maisa with or on my body. Those don't work. So what are our examples? Tefillin. I put on tefillin, but I didn't put it on my body. It's as if I wrap my tefillin on your hand. So I didn't get a mitzvah for that either. Maybe a chesed, maybe, or something. But not the mitzvah's villain. So too, if you rap on my behalf, it's as if I rap on your hand. Right? What else? Davening. I mouth the words. Right? But it's not enough that I mouth the words. Meaning that there's a mice of mouthing the words. My body has to mouth the words. That's a little bit of a trickier one, but that's clearly what he means. Or to take another example, which he gives, which is even clearer, sukkah. Right? It's not enough to do a maisa yeshiva in some abstract sense. My body has to sit. My body's not sitting if I'm inside. That's a difference. It's similar, it's using similar language, but I think it's critically different than the and we're going to see, I hope, in a few minutes, a nafkamina between the two of them. According to the Tosfos Rig, it has to be misyakis back in the shalayat, and it's not that it's no good. According to the Ksos, it's only those mitzvos which are unrelated to the body of the person themselves. But if it has to be with or on the body, then it does not work. Yeah.
So like, so since it is a beautiful woodwork, it just wouldn't be enough to fulfill your mitzvah?
In theory, it could have worked. In theory, it could have worked.
In terms of shlichus, your
shlichus. What I would say, yes. Yes, I think that's an important point. According to the shlichus, it's just a technicality. In theory, it should have worked. There's just a technicality that it has to be on the maisa, and there's no, it has to be on the goof, and there's no goof here. Yeah.
If theoretically you could use a shaliach tefillin, so would a shaliach have to put on tefillin twice, once for me and once for him, or do you just put on once and use a goof?
I would assume, that's a good question. It's only theoretical. I can't know for sure, but I would think you'd have to do it twice. Or maybe that relates to the shaliach tefillin. I don't. It's hard to know. I can't tell you. I couldn't prove it because it's just it's not. It's yeah. I mean, but I would think yes, twice. Yeah. Chabura, yeah. Why? That's not true. That's what you need to have the shita needs to be done. It's not true. It's not true. That's the point. It's not. You might have thought that, but that's clearly not what he holds. Okay. Now, approach number three, and now savlanut is rewarded. Patience. In approach number three, which doesn't seem to mention anything about mitzvah shebegufo, maybe we could work that back into the language, but we don't necessarily need to, is a combination, a tag team, of the Maharach or Zeruah, Rav Chaim or Zeruah, the son of the or Zeruah, and Rabbi Chanan, in the Kovit Shurim in Masech Tetzuvos. The Maharach or Zeruah asks the question, again, everyone's asking the same question, what's going on? He gives an example, for example, of challah, right? Couldn't, certain dough can't be used unless challah was given to the Kohen. Or a makeh, right? I can't, you know, my house I can't, is really off limits until I put up a makeh. So in those cases, a shliach works. Yet in other cases, shlichus doesn't work. So says the Maharach or Zeruah, when it comes to these things where it works, shchita, hafrashas challah, ein mitzvason, ela shetitkan ha'isa. This is Gabi Truma, Gamatan. Sheikr, excuse me, Sheashminan, Sheikr mitzvasa rak the takin isa, Alitan chal kohen. Abu Tilin of Etzitzis, Achille, Matzah, etc., Ein Shaya Shlichus. Now he says only half the equation, that's why I need Rabbi Chanan to make it clearer for us, but he's already indicating, and you see what I meant now, what you said is in his language, at least half of it. He says, those mitzvahs where it works, the focus is not on the maisa of being makrish challah. It's not on the maisa of putting up a makeh. And we could add, it's not on the maisa of shechita of the Korban Pesach. In all the cases where it works, the focus is on the result. Not that you have to be makrish truma or makrish challah, but rather that the kri, the pile, has to have had a hafrasha. Or to use his example, shetitka ha'isa, right? That's what we call in English passive language. The isa, the dough, had to have been affected, had to have been separated, had to have been improved. But not that I have to myself do a maisa. Things which need a maisa, now I'm moving over to Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan quotes the Maharach or Zeruah, and he makes it very clear and sharp in his typical sharp way. Because there are two types of mitzvos. Those which require a maisa, those which where there's no maisa that's required, there's just a desired result. So when the shlichus works, says Rabbi Chanan, says Maharach or Zeruah, only in those mitzvos in which what? The result is all that counts. So all we need is the result is, even though I didn't do it, you did it, that's okay. It counts for me. You did it, but it counts for me. Because all that's needed, it's a lower level, if you will, only is the result. But if you tell me it's not just the result that's required, but even the mice is required, then, in Chanami says, Rabbi Chanan says, the Maharach or Zeruah, the shlichus is not enough. And that is something that you could call, either we could call it Mitzvah Shavagufo, it means my Maisa, or maybe we don't have to use that term. Maybe it's not even connected to that term. But that's his rule. Maharach or Zeruah is a Rishon, he can have any rule he wants. No, doesn't have to agree with the Tazrid. And I think that's a third approach. So one approach is it has to be Mesiyache's back, number one. Number two is it has to be something that is not necessarily have to be on my body, or with my body. Number three approach is maybe it's only things which are results focused, not things which are maisa focused. I just want to point out very briefly Ahara, and then we're going to skip a little bit for the sake of time, then we're going to get to one classic nafkamina between all these three. Because so far, by the way, it's all been theoretical, right? No one here said tefillin works. No one here said, you know, it works for tefillah. They've just given different theories as to why not. So we'll get to a practical difference in a minute. But I want to make one ha'ara, which I haven't seen anywhere, but I hold it's a good ha'ara. Ask Rabbi Rush. See how far I've come in these years. From that early Vasik and Chavrusa. Anyway, you should just know, by the way, why did we stop learning? He's a machine. I got sick. I was sleeping like 4 hours a night. I mean, it was ridiculous. I got sick. I broke down. He would still be learning at that time if I would learn with him. But I couldn't do it anymore. And he did not agree to wake me up ever. So that was it. Okay, anyway. I have the following ha'ara. This, I think, is a very interesting machlokes between Rabbi Chanan / Dor HaZeruah on the one hand and the Ketzos on the other hand. And the following way. If you take a look at the Svarim of Rav Yosef Engel and other more recent Achronim, it's very popular to say that there are three different approaches to shluchos in general, even if it would be financial things. Buy a house for me, sell a house for me, commercially, forget mitzvahs for a second. The general parsha of shluchos. What does that mean, shluchos shalom kmoso? What does that mean? So there's three approaches in the Achronim. Again, hopefully they're all legitimately in the Rishonim too. But the Achronim, especially Rav Yosef Engel, made famous explicating three different approaches to shluchos. The most ambitious one is to say that the Mishleach becomes the Mishleach. I become you. So of course it's Kamoso, because I am you. It's just, you know, it's like at the end of Mission Impossible, I take off the mask. And there I am. I'm really you. Number one. Number two is a little bit less ambitious. It's to say, I'm not you, you're not me. But there's a Chiddush is that you're Maisa. It's as if I did it. It's as if I did it. You're actually you. But when you do something, magically, it's like schizophrenic, Jekyll and Hyde. You are you, you're not me. But when you do something, it's as if I did it. And the third approach, which is still a big Kiddush, but it's, relatively speaking, most moderate, is to say, I'm not you, of course, but that's crazy. And how could I be your myself? I'm not you. That's like a hybrid. That's weird. Doesn't make any sense. That's the nishtaher. What does it mean? It's a different type of halachic magic. You're the shliach, and you're totally you, you're not me. But the Kiddush of shlichus is that whatever result of your action, it impacts me. I get credit for it. I get credit for it. It's as if I did it. I didn't do it. You're not me. I'm not you. Your Maisa is not my Maisa. But I get credit for it. It's as if I did it. I didn't, but it's as if I did. I get credit for it. So among the in these two approaches that we saw now, Rabbi Chanan versus the Ketzos, is it Maisa versus the Tzachiluk, or the body versus... If you look in the Lashon, I think it's clear the following. Number one is, at least among these sources, no one here is considering a concept of shlichus in which I am mamish you. We didn't see that at all. That's the most ambitious one. I think I would take that off the stage left. However, among the other two, l'chora, it would appear to me, that Rabbi Chanan and the Ketzos are arguing mamish mikase l'katse. Their formulations, if you think about it, are exactly opposite from one another, and they're really arguing about the other two approaches to shlichus. Namely, what did the Ketzos say? The lashon of the Ketzos was mitzvos which only require ma'isa, for sure shlichus works. It's just if it also has to be on my body, well, I'm not you. Now we understand that he's what is he thinking of? What's in the back of the Ketzos' mind? The first approach to shlichus, then I become you. So it's just saying, no, it's not level one, because then maybe the shul gubah should work. I'm not you, it's not on my body. But if it's just a ma'isa, then it's just if I did it. Which is another way of saying, it so really holds like that middle approach of shlichus. Shlichus means it's as if I did the ma'isa. And that's exactly what the lashon of Ketzos was. It's as if I wrapped tefillin, just not on my own body. So the Ketzos, when he talks about shlichus and mitzvos, is a very clear articulation of the middle approach to shlichus. It's as if I did the ma'isa, the mishleach. Comes along Rabbi Chanan, and said, whoa. We're going to make your chiluk, which is the opposite, I would suggest, if you think about it, of the Ketzos. Because he says, mitzvos which require ma'isa, mitzvos all require tosa. Mitzvos which require ma'isa, said Rabbi Chanan, said Marach Bozerua, no shlichus. The Ketzos said, which mitzvos work? After the ones which are only a ma'isa. Comes along Rabbi Chanan and Marach Bozerua, which ones don't work? The ones which are only a ma'isa. The Mamre said the opposite. And I think because Rabbi Chanan is holding like the third approach of shlichus. Maybe the shlichus does not mean I did the ma'isa, and it still doesn't mean I became you. Shlichus just means that I get credit for what you did. But I get credit without having done the ma'isa. Well, that is exactly what is necessary for challah. Or for Karban Pesach. I didn't do the ma'isa, but it's okay, I get credit for it. That's all that matters. But on those mitzvahs which require a maisa, that it says I had to do something, according to Rabbi Chanan, apparently, shlichus doesn't cut it. Shlichus doesn't get you there. That's a horror. I think that the larger machlokes about shlichus may be at least two-thirds of the way being played out here, and I think very much Rabbi Chanan and the Tzotz are not just saying different things. I think when it comes to shlichus, they're saying mamish opposite things. Okay, now let's get an afkamina. We have 10 minutes left in the whole year, so let's use them. You have hopefully many more minutes. When is the last day in the Zman mamish? So not having me back next Tuesday. Look at that. Anyway. Anyway. So I got 10 minutes left with you. Let's make it worthwhile. So we're obviously skipping some sources. Unfortunately, that's just life. We'll have to. This way, I can give the shir again next year, and I can add some kedusha to it. So one nafkamina may very well be to this machlokes, especially between the Ksos and the Nesivis. Excuse me, Ksos is red. That's Pavlovian. Is the issue of shlichus for bris milah. Sometimes if you're careful and you listen closely and carefully and you're up front, certain moalim will tell the father, you know, take this knife or something or lift it up, you know, make a kinyan, make me your shliach. Not all moalim do it or not. But in general, there is a question. There is a question about shlichus and milah. Does shlichus work for milah or not? Now, what do you mean? How can anyone say it doesn't? How many fathers do their own milah? So the answer may be, according to some, you don't need shlichus. Maybe you don't even need it. Maybe you're going through the mitzvah without it. And some may say, en chanami. Maybe the boy gets his mitzvah, no matter who does the milah. But maybe it's true. Don't tell anybody. It will kind of ruin the party. But maybe it's true, according to some achronim, some posthum, that any time a moel does the milah, when the father himself could have done it, maybe the father's not yotzei as mitzvah. Anyway, that's the background. Where does it all come from, though? Now let's see, Taka, where does it come from? So the Hagdama is a rush. The rush is in the Masech Techulin, and he ain't talking about shlichus, he ain't talking about milah. But we will pull a rabbit out of our hat, we'll connect it. There's a sugya of stealing mitzvahs. Not money, stealing mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah you're about to do, someone grabs it from you and does it for you from you instead. There's a halacha, there's a knas meter abanon, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Yudzehuvim, 10 pieces of gold, you got to pay the guy. Right? We love mitzvahs. Mitzvahs for us are valuable. Someone takes a mitzvah away from us, right? You're about to walk an old lady across the street and somebody did it for you, you can sue them for yudzehuvim. Okay? So one of the examples that the Gemara mentions, it's a prime example of this, is kisui hadam. The halacha is, anyone can be a shochet if they know what they're doing. And even though anyone can do the mitzvah of kisui hadam, covering the dirt up, covering the blood up with dirt, there's a drasha in the Gemara that the shochet himself has first dibs. If he doesn't do it at all, or doesn't do all of it, then other people can do it. But he has first dibs. Let's say, the Rosh says, somebody jumps in and cut right before the shochet's about to go, like this with the dirt, doing the best, you know, baseball manager's impression. And someone else comes in and they slid in the home plate and they cover it up quicker. So says the Gemara, that's an example. You stole somebody's mitzvah, you owe the shochet 10 tevuvim. Says the Rosh the following. What about a case of milah? The father knows how to do milah. He's about to do the milah himself. You can only imagine the craziness what would be going on in shul that day. And some guy jumps in, hip checks the father out of the way. Everyone's going to look for the father. Misdirection. And the guy, whoosh, hopefully he was accurate. And he does the milah. Says the Rosh, no brainer, of course. The guy who did the milah is chayev to the father, Tenzuhuv. But then, says Rosh, yeshli ov kasha. Let's say the father is normal. He's not doing the milah himself. So he calls up, depending where you live, there's certain famous moel. When I lived in Riverdale, so there was Rabbi Katzenstein, that was a famous moel in the area. So let's say I called up Katzenstein, and Katzenstein has the yakis, and he's very precise, and he's cleaning the instruments, and he's doing everything he's doing. And then another guy, I don't know, Rabbi Krohn, got very insulted, I didn't call him. So he storms in, he throws a few magid books at people, distracts everybody, and then he does the milah. What's the halacha? Frek the Rosh, what's the halacha? Now what would you think? He stole a mitzvah. Who's him? I didn't even invite him. Says the Rosh Achidish, the second Moel, he may not be such a good guy, but he doesn't owe anybody any money. The Lach of Yudzehuvim does not apply there. Even though it would apply if he stole the mitzvah from the father, does not apply if he stole the mitzvah from Moel A. Mo'el B would not have to pay. In light of that, and by the way, there are more paskins this way, comes along the Shach in Choshe Mishpat, not in Yoredei, but Chosmila. In Choshe Mishpat says the Shach, who made Divrei Harash, we see what? The Mishu Mo'el, Ein Roshay Likenes B'no La'achra L'Maholo. You're not allowed to appoint a Shliach. You see from this Rosh that a father should not appoint a Shliach to do the Mila for him. He must do the meal himself. But Katavti says as a Shach, Lafi Shariti, Kama Anashim, Mechabdim Lach, Ero Lomul, Zbrayam, Afshem Ba'as, Mechum Lomul. Dati him, Mevalim, Mrs. Asay, Mrs. Gadol, Shamila. So the Shach does say parenthetically a little, you know, he interjects a little bit of sanity. He says, I won't talk about a guy who knows what he's doing. If you know what you're doing, says the Shach, you know to do the meal yourself, you're chayim to do the meal yourself, father. You're not allowed to give it to a Ma'ol. And how do I know this? A chiddush. Now you'll say, well, why not? Shulchan Shalom should come also. So I gave it to him all, but it's as if I did it. I'm the father. No, says the Shach. You can't do that. And how do I know it? I know it from the Rosh. So many achronim and the ktsos there, Choshen Mishpat asks the question, he quotes it, from the Tzvul Shor and others, lo yadana my raya, my seem to be a Rosh. How did you get to this from the Rosh? The Rosh is talking in a completely different siman in Shulchan Aruch. Right? Shlichus we saw back in Siman Kuf Pei Beis. This is 200 simanim later, Shin Pei Beis. Mamish, exactly, 200 simanim later. 382, not 182. The siman in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Beis, not talking about Shlichus. The word Shlichus doesn't apply anywhere, doesn't come out anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch there. What's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? A different topic completely. Stealing mitzvos. Not talking about Shlichus. So where do you have Shlichus from? Where did the Shach see this? The Shach made this huge jump. Forget the fact that it's a huge chiddush what the Shach says. But where do you get it from? So like So says, I know. He would have had the following Havamina. If we would have had a Havamina in the case of two Moalim fighting, so to speak, and the Rosh had a chiddush, no one has to pay anything. But let's say it would have been a normal case. Yes, he has to pay. Moal B has to pay. Pray tell, who does he have to pay? Now, Moal A was about to do the Milah. Got stolen right from under him. So maybe you would have thought he would have had to pay Moal A, Kamash Milan, no. Says the Ktsos, that would be wrong. That's not what the Rosh meant, or that's not what the Shach understood. Because if that's the case, then it's maybe true, maybe not true, but it has no connection to Shlichus. The Chiddush, as he understands, that of the Shach's understanding of the Rosh, is that he had to have him and he would have to pay the father after all. If Shlichus works in Mila, which, you know, works with so many other mitzvahs, why shouldn't it work with Mila? I hired a Moel, everyone knows you hire a Moel, some Moel would say, make me a Shlichus. And if Shlichus would work with Mila, then it would make no sense to have any difference in the Psach Rush. So if you stole the Mila from the father himself, or you stole the Mila from the father Shliach. Not only would there be no difference in Psach, meaning it should be the same thing, you owe your Zuvim, that's weird that there's a difference, but more than that, in the case where Moel B stole from Moel A, Moel B should have to pay the father. Because Moel B wasn't his shliach, so the father is totally out to lunch. He has no connection. But if Moel A had done it, he's my shliach, I would have gotten my points. That would have been a very good havamina. And yet you see that all of that, as much as it makes sense, the Rosh apparently rejects it all. Because he says, you're not chayav Zuvim. Oh, that's the Shach. Why does the Rosh reject something so beautiful? It must be, as understood by the Ktsos, because there is no Shlichus by Mila. And therefore, Mali Moel A, Mali Moel B, Mali Moel C, none of them are the Shlich of the Father. And if that's the Shlich of the Father, so it doesn't make a difference. If you steal from the Father, he's about to do the Mila, and you owe him. But anyone else who's not the Father has no connection to the Father. And therefore, there's no reason to assume that anyone would have been chayav. Okay? So now we understand where the Shach is coming from. But says the Ktsos, I still have another question. Excuse me. Why should any of this be true? Namely, yes, it's true. The Shach, now we understand where the Shach got it from. He wasn't pulling a rabbit out of the hat. If we understand it with all the lumps of the Ktsos, we see why, or how I should say, we see how the Shach is Vadaik from the Rosh, no Shlichus and Mila. Okay, fine, now we get it. But what's the next question we have to ask? Well, why not? Good. Now we see that the Rosh holds that there's no Shlichus and Mila. Well, why not? Shlichus works for Karma Pesach. Shlichus works for this and that and the other thing. Why shouldn't Shlichus work? Why should Mila be on that side of the equation? Why should it be similar to Tefillin and not similar to Truma? Why should it be similar to sitting in the sukkah, but not similar to Yitner Kedushin? Why does this not work? So says the Ksos, at the end of the line that I have, near Ali, what must be the answer? Alpi Masha Kosov Hatosus Rid. And what he basically develops is the following svara. Listen carefully. We're running a little bit late, but I want to be clear, so I don't want you to lose this. It's very important. Says the Ksos, what it means is, we're asking a question now. Again, especially if you're in the Tosus Rid and the Ksosis world, what's the term? Mitzvah Sheva Gufo. In essence, we're asking, why would you assume the Mila should be Mitzvah Sheva Gufo? Says the Ksos, according to the Tosus Rid, it makes sense. So let's plug it in now. According to the Tosus Rid, who said that Mitzvah Sheva Gufo means that other than Mitzvah point, which probably don't count, Mitzvah Sheva Gufo means a Mitzvah in which the Shliach did, and it's not Misyaches back to the Shliach, to the Mishaleach. Unlike marriage or divorce, for my status as the Mishaleach changes, it's something Misyaches back to me. Those Mitzvahs which it doesn't work, it means that nothing came back to me. So says it, so think about it. According to that definition, Mila, Taka, is a Mitzvah Sheva Gufo. In the sense that nothing about the action the Shliach did is Misyaches back to the father. Yes, there's a chiyuv of the father to make sure his son gets circumcised. But good, so he fulfilled that mitzvah. But mitzvah points don't count. Other than that, did anything like the father's status changed? No. The son's status changed. He was an RL, now he's a mohul. That's a very big difference. That's chorus. But nothing about the father's status changed. And therefore, if you use the Tosas Riz definition, the Tos, then Taka, it makes sense. Now, more recent, I'm going to have to run. Again, anyone wants to stay, as always, I'll stay. But just so I can finish the shiur, and those who won't need to leave can leave, just to make a very, very important hara. There are some, I've seen shiurim, I've heard shiurim, for shashivas, who are bothered, maybe this is a stira in the ksos. Right? Who is thinking that? It's a good question. The ksos, we said in the first side of the page, has a different model than the rush. And yet here he has his big kasha on the rush, and the shaf, and the answer to the ksos is red. So I think the answer is very simple. And that is that he's not necessarily saying that he agrees with the Tosus Rid. He's saying, Aliba to the Tosus Rid, it works. And then I would say not only that, I would say Adaram. In fact, according to the Ktos, you'd have the opposite conclusion. According to the Ktos, you might think, Mitzad Shlichus, there's nothing wrong with it. And as I told you, in general, there are different Shlichus. I think the Ktos would hold Adaraba. From my perspective, there's nothing wrong with having a shliach for Mila. Because after all, what's my definition? Mitzvah Sheva Gufo, Pshuto Kemashmo. Only mitzvahs have to be on my body, with my body. That's not true for Bris Mila. The ikar is that the son should be mauled. So why should I be able to get a shliach to do that for me? So I think exactly this question of Mila is a nachgemina between the Ksos and the Nesivas. Excuse me, the Ksos and the Tosus Rid, excuse me. According to the Tosus Rid, where it's all about his yachsos, back and forth, so in Echonami, as Ixos himself suggested, maybe it would be considered a Mitzvah Sheva Gufo, Shlichus wouldn't work. But according to the definition used by Ixos himself, it's about Pshuto Kamashmo, Mitzvah Sheva Gufo, and Echonami, you should definitely be allowed to make a Shlich for Mila. Now that's two of our three approaches. What was our third approach? So I saw that the Chasam Sofer and the Shuvah relates to it, because that actually is a big machlokes in general about Mila. What's the mitzvah of Mila? Is the mitzvah of Mila the Maisa Chaticha? Or is it the result that the child is Mahul? So Taka, there's lots of Nafkeminas for that Shiloh. But another we can add to our list of Nafkeminas on that Shiloh is if you accept the definition of the Marach or the Ruah and the Rabbi Chanan, then, depending on what you hold Mila is it a Maisa or a Totsah, we'll also have Nafkemina if you get a Bona Shliach or not. Okay? There's more we could have said a little bit. I left out a few things. But the bottom line is, I want to just, the points we have to leave with are, everyone, Mila people argue about. But before we saw Mila, people weren't arguing about which case of Shlichus works, but trying to understand why it should work and why it shouldn't work. So three different definitions. One is, Tosus Rid, does it relate back to the Mishaleach? Number two is, Tzos, is it literally on the body of the Mishaleach? And number three was the distinction between whether it's merely a Maisa or a Totsah. And we ended with two extra Ha'aras. One is that Machlokas itself might be related to the larger three-way Machlokas about what a Shlichus means. And in that case, the Ktos and Rav Chana might be opposites. And number two, finally, we said that the broader definition might have a practical nafkamina in a very big and controversial machlokes about shlichus and mila, because that's an example, unlike tefillin or sukkah or truma, where everyone agrees whether or not shlichus works. Here we have a major machlokes. It's one of the rare cases where we have actually a machlokes in the poskim whether shlichus works or not. And it could be that that machlokes is very much dependent on these different approaches that we saw. All right, have a good day and have a great summer.